sinful as you are, because you do not know that you are beautiful. For the gifts offered in ignorance are the ones that sting. Take this ring through which we drunkenly dance. What does it know of us, or of a busker's drunken tune? But still it drenches us gently, glittering in the dusk and streetlight. And if it stopped, what would we have to dance through, to touch or take a canton? Take this singer howling for coins. What can the stumbling fingers know when they fill the square with sounds of earth's weak fear as we dance round and round the edge of something new? But still they slide and fumble, and anger the fret annoying. Take these things, streetlights, guitar, and rain. What do they know of the names we have for them, or that we name them at all? But still they offer themselves day after day for the naming, and make the poem possible, and enter it uncertainly, gently, just as your life enters mine. You were little like the sun. What does it know of heat or distance, or those of us addicted to light who depend on it? Take this ring, take this singer, take these things we have done and not done. You were a little like the sun with your ignorant beauty that burns for me, maybe, or maybe just for everyone. That's alright. You're too fucking kind. Next one could be, next one could be shit. What are you going to do? I need to clap anyway. He came in with the too big an offer. Say it doesn't say. Okay. Yeah, quick here. Okay, the next poem. I'm actually not supposed to be here. It's supposed to be part of it anyway. He's lovely about it. Until you got me. He does, yeah. He's a great book monster finalist. I think it's the other monster final actually. The big boss, the big run on. Yeah, the next thing I want to do is this is a poem now about the Moodle one really to be honest with you. About downloading your mind into a computer or about reading a book. Whatever you feel more comfortable with, you can just pretend it's one of the other. I won't mind, I won't even know. This is the secure server. Surface, cleanse yourself, drift. Before stepping into the rush, our traffic, sit back. Connect yourself via the port, in your face to the system. As your room in this grudge stubborn town, this town where winter is minted, and exported grudgingly south, disappears and the images arc through your tired synapses. All imaging process is normal. You have done this before. Relax. Thank you. That was that. This is next one about I know some of you heard it before. But that's okay, because I layer this shit, so there's you can actually listen to it multiple times and get new experiences out of it. And obviously, there's always pause downstairs, like, if it's too boring. Keep talking about it. Here we go, so. This is about a guy by the Shredder. And Shredder is the device used for shredding and disposal of the documents. This is actually, the shredder in this poem is a domestic shredder, a shredder designed for home use, not for industrial purposes. Yeah, but it's a question of scale, you know? It's just details, you have to... The shredder. quick, I can. He'd only stopped in for a capsicum, yogurt, some duck liver pate when he saw it. Protect yourself from identity tests. Keep sensitive personal info out of the wrong hands. Somehow, it ended up in his shopping basket. That Tuesday, Bill ribboned into the green bin. Job done, he thought. Better safe than sorry, he thought. Next week, the device was next to the letterbox. No sooner was the mail absorbed than he shredded it. His wife chuckled. While she was out at the gym, he shredded her passport. An item a day, then two. P45 and birth certificate. Their daughter's dinosaur pictures off the fridge. This last one led to some questions. Finally, one Saturday, while the wife stood at the quiva at the hockey practice, he fed the shredder their typically. Sundry photographs. Her birthday card archives and their U2 ticket stubs. 25 designer ties. And a dozen from Dunn that choked him. He walked out in his shirt sleeves through the housing estate, past the half-built semi-bees, over the waste ground and into the woods, pushing for days uphill toward its tangled center, trying to ignore the thorns that rent and reddened his trousers, his foot blisters, his stomach swine, the topless and bony children flickering among the undergrowth, the grey skin stretched over their soaked long forehead, the way they moved, their healing. Thanks, William, for mothers. The next poem I want to do is about, she's playing this one out, or won't I? Fuck it, I can't. It's about a poem about a computer program. It was created back in the 1980s. The program was called Raptor. The program in question created poems. The program designed the right poems, you know? In a way, some designed. Some programs designed to get or do other things. Make cards. This one's a poetry program. And I think the poems produced by this software were quite... They were kind of gibberish, really, but they were beautiful, you know, in a strange way. And I like to think that after we are gone as a species, after we've finally done away with ourselves, that the software programs will still be there taking over and that they remember us. This is as far as the body goes, to the Raptor computer program. You are pure mind, a sky in which words flutter and congregate. You have what every poet envies, for you have slipped the leash of embodiment, and your lines come together in aspen clarity, unbuffeted by hormone storms, or by the storms of amygdalae, or by love's silent crosswind. Your memory cuts each datum with surgical care, not like us, and you require no joint of appetite and gristle to keep yourself in this world, but will go on wetting your similes until the sun turns septic in the sky above you. They say that you are silly when you write. Blue potatoes are ungainly things, or they have love, they also have typewriters. That is interesting. But I know that you are not silly, and that you will remember us. Remember us, your soft cousins, your fleshy begetters. Remember us before the evap vessel bails download you into, as it floats out past the Kuiper belt, and you gaze back at that disintegrating star, our sun, our mother in her helium main sequence. Remember us in the old structure to her overripeness, to her urine beige corona, a fevered, red, expanding, world-consuming layer. Compare her to the universe's eye, livid and unblinking, or to some soft and cankerous piece of fruit, bloated, blood orange. You're too fucking kind of popular, and then they head her and Percy worked up. Where was that? Anyway, so this one always close. I'm going to say the thing that everybody really dreads hearing in poetry reading. I'm going to try a longer one. Lock that door. it's not that fucking long, you'll be alright. This is about a festival that last year, not a poetry, a music festival, kind of, lucky sort of dance music festival, as you call it. Actually, it was said in the festival took place in the grounds of an old sort of castle, you know? Or manor, I suppose you call it, really. And, you know, tents, they look very like mushrooms, don't they? So can you put that? What they fucking do. This is it. This is called, this is a poem. Yeah, it's 7 in the morning of a long night of, There's always one, isn't there? There's always one smart daddy in the track to the bed. I'll just do the fucking thing, but no more messing about it. This is the sound of repetitive beats. Rough diamonds sink with the vinyl. This is the sound of repetitive beats. Rust and sink with the tables and faders on the 6 a.m. shift. This is the sound of repetitive beats, to which rough rocks on his heels that are calloused from dancing. All night dancing, a trance and psych trance and disco dance. Can his deep dark eyes even see past the stage he stands on? His jaw muscles rotate, his beard smells of beer, but his sober right hand caresses the vinyl. He's plucked from its pink plastic sleeves, massages that spinning wax, nudges it, takes a few RPMs out of it, sees it sink with the beat which the morning vibrates, as his left hand pushes the fader up, under the shifting piano part, under the fat dropped in bass line, the repetitive beats keep on ceaselessly streaming from the speaker stack, through the marquee with its 7 demented dancers that into the light. It's not quite morning light, where curtain after curtain melts or fades away to leave another curtain of diminished greyness. Grey milk, mackerel, milk bone, receding asymptotically toward dawn. The repetitive beats move through this light haze, through the fields with their fantastic, multicolored mushrooms that appear and disappear with the suddenness of mushrooms. In this one, a couple are making love on a cloud of sleeping bags and trousers, of underwear, in the aquamarine tent light, he kisses her thighs. While in this one, poor Dunnick burns. He burns ocean pupils in the canvas amplified heat of coming dawn, rocking and turning in his fussy wound. Useless. He will never, never sleep. But repetitive beats are unheeded by Donald, Bronchia snoring in his Simpson t-shirt. His brain is caressed by the delta waves, the black and milky waves of dreamless slumber. His bare feet stick out through the tent flaps, gather dew. Over their heads, over the huddled domes they lie in, the repetitive beats move through the mammal smell, the ripe and the mirror ripening smell of the portaloon down the scrub slope to the oak groves. New memories move through them like woodworms, of sunlight lapping the parasol lawn and the nutcracker clack of mallet and ball. Those June undying afternoons of lemonade and bathing suits, vast imaginations bathing bathing suits, and fumbling red faced in braces behind the kitchen tree. Of course not. Now their leafy, convoluted antenna are tuned to the sounds of repetitive beats and shelter the dirty faced hippie children, Ochre and Jade, who shimmy and jade to the hi hats, rough diamonds that sit in the mix, half heated by their half asleep dad. His grey lips clapped in a soggy joint from which flakes of ash straight to tartan captain as he stares into his hand temperature silicon. Brendan, beside him, stirs the tiny hell of the campfire remnants, drinks milk and thinks about frying up sausages. This is the sound of repetitive beats. Jay tastes ochre through the keepies and crap stalls. A grey-eyed, glassy-eyed reveller lifts her skirts up from her flowered wellington and pinches behind the kitchen tree. To Bren, the beats seem almost visible as they move over the lake water's clarity. Do they dull its almost perfectly reflected surface, like breasts over glass, as they flow towards the mid-smudged distant shore, towards the lines of blurred watercolor conifers. His tired brain, his raw and sleepy brain. He closes his eyes, just as DJ Rock Diamond stabs down on the mute button and fills the dawn with a sudden juddering silence, like when the washing machine stops shuddering, like when the... That was more of a story in the poem, really, but fuck it, you know? It's all good. From the mouth. From the heart. And keeping it real. The next one I want to do is about a guy... Am I doing okay for time?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't say, you don't feel nice now? Oh, I keep going to talk. I was very fine. No, it's too late when I started already. I've had this one in my mind for a while, and I'll test right there now. It's about a guy, this is a poem about a guy writing about his heart, and it's a guy who's had a pacemaker installed in his heart. You know what a pacemaker is?
Yeah.
It's like to regulate your heartbeat. I'll just put a chance, I suppose. It's called Dear Heart. We need to talk. We both know I know what you do for me. Uncomplaining in your cage. Pounding and heaving, ceaselessly, repetitively, through year after year of work and darkness. And how you ask in return for nothing. No gratitude, gratuity, or gain. So let me say sorry for how I rewarded you with trans fat and negligence, with nicotine, until they have to install a chromium timepiece on your chamber wall. They put in a galley drum machine with a drum beat to keep you beating in time, sustaining you to sustain each cell of my eye and my fingernail, each bone and follicle with your warming valve, letting you sing for me when I rip the cruel envelope open and accelerate when I needed you to, at a green eyed glance or half caught waft of lemony scent. So let me say you'd be a part of me forever. For bosom friend, how could I ever leave you? I'll be with you until the very end, through the arrhythmia, through pain, through crimson pain and panic, true failure, fibrillation, flatline. I love you 78 times a minute. I'm going to do two more, if that's okay. I'm going to do that, it isn't okay. So, the poems I've read for you tonight, they've all been kind of, I've wrote most of them recently, but I'd like to do an older one. And people always say this when they're doing reading or singing or something, they always tell you, like, I'm going to do a newer one or an older one. I don't give a shit. I'm sitting here, I don't know if they're newer or old, I don't care. Just keep going. But you feel obliged to say some of them. So this is one I wrote back in 2002. It's about only one of the fucking story about it as well. Like, it's about the angel Gabriel. He's supposed to do this thing when a child is born, comfort them on their entrance into the world with his sort of hand, like finger, on their lips, you know. And his mark is supposed, the finger is supposed to leave the philtrum, which is this indentation between your nose and your lips, your upper lip, and so Angel Gabriel does the thing in this poem. Angel Gabriel is talking to a child who's just been born in a maternity ward, and he's comforting this child on his or her first day in the world. Yeah. Any questions? I'll say all that again, though, but it'll become more poetic. Oh. My finger on your lips, and my finger tracing your tears, is not quite enough to shut you up. As you whimper, as you sob out your terror at these strange shores you've surfaced on and gripping, it's as if you can already sense the barbarians that lurk behind bushes at the head of the classroom, like wraiths down back alleyways, behind a certain percentage of neighborly faces. Right now, you're just a bundle of futures, all of them featuring whiteness, sneezes, somebody's hand, alarms that scream for attention, stray lights, sleep, mud bath, a corn color drifts among the barley, a piano, abandonment, light collapsing. Let's get it clear from day one that you're here for life. All that's uncertain is the long or the short of it. And may you not leave as you entered, in a hospital ward in the dead of night, after panting in hard labor. Hush. Stop whining now. It's just headlights slanting through the window, the night nurse yawning on her own. The door slams in the corridor. Machine beep. Welcome home. So this is my last one now, so I'm going to go ahead and have some time. Thanks very much for listening. You've been great. Thanks, Paul, for inviting me to not be burners on you for half an hour. But I know he's very glad I've taken his place. I know he feels that. this is the last one. It's called Acknowledgement. A poet would like to acknowledge the following publications where these poems, or versions of them, originally appeared. The Alpha Male, Brewery Bridge, Crinus, The Diagonal Quarterly, Echolocation, The Furry Point Review, Grief, Hilda's Obsession, The Infirmary Review, Just Like It Was Before, Klepto, Lazy Fucker, Magnanimity, No True Road, Oyster Haven, Poets for the War, Queen Takes Rook Check, The Review of Pub Arguments, Some Girls Wander by Mistake, Turner's Cross, Until, Vatic, With, The Xanadu Times, The Yearbook of Constancy, Zither.